The White Feather's Directive. Episode 12. Her body is so cold.
The world was light and hazy, a gentle domain through which she drifted gently, lazily, not knowing her name, not knowing where she was. Faintly, she heard the random murmur of waves crashing on the beach.
Sorry. I'm so sorry, Mother.
Brother? My brother.
He is so sad. Why is he so sad?
Quietly, Nanoka drifted and listened, waiting.
Humanity. One would believe that after 300 years, even an angel would finally understand them.
Huh? Mom?
Makia appeared next to Nanoka. Her astral aura was a vague blur of her celestial form. However, dim and weak in color.
In this state, everything seems so much more simple, doesn't it? Humans believe their physical world is meaningless. In truth, it's one of the most challenging states of existence.
Koshiro looked up and stared concentratedly into the air in front of him.
Mother? Nanoka?
So you are finally paying attention, Koshiro.
Sure, yes. What now?
Could you stop moping for a moment and help your mother and your sister a little?
I wasn't moping. I was...
My body got forcefully disconnected from the celestial flow. It cannot recover until it's being reconnected.
Sure. What I'm supposed to do?
Stop fooling around and kiss me.
Mom, but...
Koshiro hesitantly gazed at the remnants of an angel in the sand.
You just smooched your sister all over. So what's keeping you now?
Oni-chan, you what?
I... All right.
Koshiro knelt next to Makia's body on the beach. Slowly, he leaned closer.
Cold. Her body felt so cold.
Makia's hand had weakly touched Shiro's.
Hurry. There is no time.
Koshiro felt like he got electrocuted, losing sense for space. He could hardly bear the heat he felt. Makia held on to him to sustain the kiss as he was about to let go in pain. Wings came from his back.
So much light.
Seriously, you still have to learn a thing or two, Koshiro.
I have scent in my mouth.
At Director Nakamura's insistence, a considerable part of SEMA's subterranean command center had been converted into a nuclear fallout shelter.
Sealed against radiation and biological contaminants, and equipped with air and water recycling facilities.
The entryway was sealed tight, metal bars holding the thick doors securely closed.
I don't like this.
Relax. Nakamura will have pulled all his personnel into the bunker with him. There's no one here that can harm us.
Except me.
Kuri swung around and trained her gun at Major Ito, who pointed his rifle at her.
We need to get into the bunker and have Nakamura relieved of duty. By now, I'm sure there will be enough SEMA personnel willing to carry the motion.
I agree. The question is, how do we get inside? Even shaped charges wouldn't make much of a dent in that thing.
I doubt there's enough C4 in the areas open to us to make that a viable option to begin with.
We could try to talk him out. Surely he must realize by now that there is nothing he can do against the Angel.
Yes, let's do that.
Cordy walked over to the intercom mounted on the wall, which was dark, and pressed the call button, which did precisely nothing.
Hello, Director Nakamura. Would you please come out and play nicely now? No? Hello? Hello, Director?
Imagine that. The electronics in the entire building are fried. That means there's no way to override the lock electronically either.
Fine then. It will have to be brute force. Stand back.
What are you going to do?
Just this.
Reaching deep within herself, Cordy hoped that Makia had given her enough power to pull this off. Makia felt a draining surge as Cordy charged up, causing the Angel to drop more or less gracefully back to the ground.
Oh!
Mother! What is it?
Hell's bells. That was just in time, Koshiro.
Makia put a shaking hand to her green, glowing chest.
Didn't I just have wings?
Koshiro tried to peer behind himself and then at his torn shirt.
It's a bit too early for that, isn't it?
I wouldn't know.
Thank you for saving your mother's life, Koshiro.
The Angel enfolded her wings and sat next to Nanoka's body in the sand, gently brushing Nanoka's face.
I assume such painful experiences cannot always be avoided. Well, they help to cherish one's life. Nanoka, how long do you plan on floating around up there?
Cordy strained, stretching her will out toward the heavy metal door. But it refused to move.
Either I'm doing this wrong, or I don't have enough power to do this.
Is this the point where I'm supposed to smile encouragingly and say, good effort?
No, but it is the point where I tell you to go jump in a...
In a what?
Shush.
Cordy concentrated on a power she knew she had. She pictured the inside of the door, a place she'd walked through hundreds of times. Her mind stretched out, touching that place, and she vanished.
Ooh, okay. I admit, now I'm impressed.
Oh, yeah.
Nanoka? It sounds familiar. What does it mean?
Oh, my. Nanoka, spaced out as ever. First, we need to heal her body. Good thing that she transitioned peacefully. You did very well, Koshiro.
Thanks, Mom, for mocking me about that I allowed my own sister to die right in front of me.
Nanoka passed away in your arms, didn't she?
Oh, right, she did. This topic is unsettling, though, Mother.
We'd be really in trouble if she had died painfully in shock. Her soul might have ended up as food for the demons.
Makia gently placed one hand on his head.
Now, I need your help with something that only a male can do.
What? Do I even want to know?
Makia looked at him, and her expression fell as she read Koshiro's mind. She did something very rare. She blinked her silver eyes just once, deliberately and slowly.
Perhaps later on, Koshiro. For now, though, you give me your hand.
Yes. Here, Mom.
I shall remind you that male angels are healers.
Ah, I see.
Here, place your hand over the green energy center. I shall aid you as an amplifier.
Kuri and Ito covered each other as they progressed down the corridor towards the operations room. Nakamura probably wouldn't be expecting their approach, since the breach alarm hadn't sounded.
Your pistol. You should have given it to the lieutenant.
She didn't want it, and honestly, I don't want to come under unwitting friendly fire from the combat inexperienced Ikuko.
I'm sorry for that. Maybe Nakamura does know we're coming.
Abruptly, bright spotlights burst into light further down the corridor.
It's me, Agent Maple. I'm with Major Ito. We've come to relieve Director Nakamura of duty.
That's not for you to decide, Maple.
But it is for me. As head of field operations, I'm entitled to call Director Nakamura's fitness for duty into question.
You're a traitor. The director says so. Open fire.
Hold your fire! I'm in command of this unit. Major Ito has proven himself loyal to SEMA many times. He deserves the chance to make his case.
No, he doesn't. Ito and Maple are traitors to SEMA. And now they have breached the containment on this bunker, condemning us all to death. Soldiers, Ito and Maple are to be put to death immediately. Open fire!
He killed Sergeant Yamada! What do we do now?
You'll do as I tell you, or suffer the same fate as him!
It doesn't need to come to that.
Kuri stepped out from her cover, her rifle hanging loosely at her side.
I surrender.
Idiot.
Ito looked alarmed and made a slashing motion across his throat to Kuri, advising her not to comply.
Put down your weapons.
Here.
Excellent. I had high hopes for you, Maple. I hope you know that.
Nakamura stepped forward, keeping his pistol trained on Kuri.
Of all the possible spies we could have planted in the Kohinata household, I chose you because I felt you had the greatest potential. Instead, you betrayed me.
Taken completely by surprise, Kuri had no chance to react or deflect the bullet. It penetrated her skull just above her left eyebrow and erupted from the back of her head in a spray of blood and brain tissue. As Nanoka's physical body became whole again, her spirit started feeling an irresistible pulling sensation, wanting to reunite with her corporeal form.
Nanoka!
What? What happened?
You...
You fell asleep.
Makiya looked up silently. She closed her eyes. She had problems reconnecting. She was vaguely aware of Kuri doing something risky, but there was no prediction possible.
I am needed somewhere else. Whoops.
The moment Makiya spread her wings, her body didn't support her desire to fly. She sank to her knees.
Mom, shouldn't you rest? You have done enough for today. By the way, where's Father?
I left him somewhere.
Let us help you, Mother.
Nanoka closed her eyes, stretching out her celestial senses once again. It was becoming more and more natural to do so, and she quickly honed in on Zenzo's presence.
He's in the city.
Oh well, that's at least less vague than somewhere.
Stand back.
The tissue of space above Makiya tore open, and violet energy was pouring down on her. She placed her palms on her forehead and the light turned indigo. She then put her fingers on her chest and the light turned green. Her palms moved further down over her belly. The light turned yellow and red as she placed her hands on her thighs.
Hori-chan!
Suddenly, the aura around the angel became violent and dark.
Get Father.
This can't be good.
Mom looked really angry. What happened?
Disturbingly angry. Come on, we better get Father.
Ito could not see Nakamura from his cover. He readied his rifle and stopped. Kori was supposed to drop, and so were her brains behind her head. Both were frozen in motion.
What's going on? What's with all this violet glitter all over the walls?
The walls and ceiling faded away. Every person on this level was now uncovered.
Shit! Huh? Where's my gun?
Every weapon apart from Nakamura's had vanished. Light was pouring in from above. It was like the underground base had been excavated.
I have a strange metallic taste in my mouth.
Damn this angel! She's exposing us all to the radiation!
Far from it.
Fire! Kill that abomination!
We have no guns.
What?
Yeah. It looks like a far superior intelligence has disarmed us all. To leave the showdown in your hands alone, Director.
You shut up, Ito. I've had enough of you and your smug words.